Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be learning the halachas of Kriyas Shema. This is Siman Yud Zayin, the 17th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to break this up into six basic concepts. Number one is timing. Number two, position. Number three, intention. Number four, pronunciation. Number five, interruptions. And finally, number six, inshul. Let's start at the beginning from the top. The concept of timing. Before we get there, let's just take a back step to appreciate what's going on over here. The Torah tells us twice that these matters should be upon your hearts when you're walking on the road, when you're in your house, when you are going to sleep and when you are getting up. And therefore, we understand that these two paragraphs, which describe very important and central values to Judaism, need to be said every day when a person is getting up and a person is going to sleep. Being as it is a time-bound mitzvah, that means to say that the Torah tells us this is a positive commandment that needs to be done at specific times in the day. Women are not obligated in this mitzvah. They may certainly opt in to do this mitzvah, and by saying Kriyas Shema, certainly the first paragraph is accepting the yoke of heaven, but they are not bound to it as an obligation, as men are. Now, you'll notice something interesting is that if you contrast the two first paragraphs of Kriyas Shema, one is found in Devarim Perek Vav, which is Parshas Vayeschanan, and the other one is Devarim Perek Yud Aleph, which is Parshas Akev, and they have very many shared elements. So they both talk about specific mitzvahs that we keep, about education, about learning Torah, about mezuzah, about tefillin. These are all talked about in these parashios. What is the difference? Why do we need to have two paragraphs? So you'll notice that, generally speaking, the theme of the first paragraph is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven. The second one is the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, accepting the yoke of mitzvahs. If you want to put it in some more simple terms, the one is I want into this relationship, and the other one is this relationship makes certain demands on me. So therefore, they are set in that direction. If you just have the want in on the relationship without commitment, it's a meaningless relationship. If you want to have a commitment but you don't know why you're doing it, it's going to wither up and dry. You need to have both, and that's what the first two paragraphs are about. Then another way of looking at it is the first paragraph is said with all these commandments and ideas in the singular to individuals, and the second paragraph is as a nation in plural. You'll notice the difference in singular and plural between them. Similarly, the first paragraph is said and understood in Israel in the a priori existence, whereas the second paragraph is after the destruction, after people are sent from their homes, from their homeland, that's when a person is meant to keep all these mitzvahs, even in the diaspora as well. Why do we have the third paragraph? The Gemara in Brachos tells us that is an expression of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering going out of Egypt, which is a requirement to be done every day. So the Chachamim, our sages, adapted that should also be part of this as well. Understand that the Kriyas Shema predates the Amidah, as we have it in our form, which means to say from the time of Matan Torah, people were saying Kriyas Shema every morning and every evening because of this mitzvah, even before there was a formalized Amidah as well. Now, a few basic things. When can I start saying Kriyas Shema from in the morning? So the timing is from Mi Sheyakir, from the time that you can recognize between blue and white, that we're talking about a time which is roughly in between dawn and sunrise. And if Shas Adachak, in a specific circumstance, occasionally one is allowed to do it from Alois, from dawn itself. To do it on a fixed level, to carry on doing it from dawn, is inappropriate, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, and should not be done. Until when can I say it? So the Torah says, Uve kumecho, when you get up. So it's the time until which the latest of people are waking up, and that is understood by the Gemara as the most pampered of people are getting up no later than 3 relative hours into the day. Relative hours are not hours of 60 minutes. They are worked out measuring the dividing the day into 12 different sections. How do I measure those hours? So the Kitzur adopts the view of the Magen Avraham, which is that we measure by taking the stars, dawn till stars out, divide that into 12 equal sections, and those are our relative hours. However, the Mishnah Berurah adopts the view of the Vilna Gaon, which seems to be the predominant acceptance of the in this particular instance, and that is the idea of we measure from sunrise until sunset and divide that into 12 equal sections. It turns out they're not so different to each other, but the Magen Avraham is usually a little earlier, which is why if you look on a Zmanim time chart, you'll see that the Zman Kriyas Shema of the Magen Avraham is usually slightly earlier than the Zman of Kriyas Shema of the Vilna Gaon. There are those who are careful, like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, to finish Shema before the 3 hours measured, like the Magen Avraham. Many people go like the Vilna Gaon. When is it best to do the Kriya Shema? Meaning, not when's the earliest and latest, but when is the best time to do it? So we know that there's a notion of davening today with what's called Vasikin, which is davening at the earliest time that one should say the Amidah, which is at sunrise. And that would mean to say, then, saying the Kriya Shema just before sunrise to enable you to start the Amidah as sunrise hits as well. What if I missed the Zman, so I did not do Kriya Shema at the right Zman? So I'm allowed to carry on saying the Brachos Kriya Shema and the Kriya Shema till the fourth hour. The Kriya Shema I've lost. That's finished. I'm no longer able to do Kriya Shema this morning ever again. So that was a loss which can never be replaced. But the Brachos of the Kriya Shema are actually instituted by Chazal, much like the Amidah. And the Amidah has until 4 relative hours into the day, a third of the day, unlike Shema, which is only a quarter of the day, which is 3 relative hours. Even if that was missed, some say you could say the Berakos Kriya Shema until Chatzos. The Psukim of the Kriya Shema do not act as Kriya Shema, they act as learning the Psukim as if one were to be learning in the Torah, but they're not acting as the Kriya Shema itself. Now, second concept is position. The Torah tells us that you're supposed to do it uveshachbucho uvekumecho when you are lying down and when you're going and when you're waking up. The Mishnah Brachos in this Daf Yud Amud Beis presents a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai explains that the Beshoch Becha means it needs to be said lying down. Uvukumecho is when you are standing up. Beis Hillel says no, it's at the times that you wake up. It's at the times you go to sleep, not the position that you are in. We paskin like Beis Hillel, so therefore what position should I say Kriya Shema in? We paskin like Beis Hillel, you can do it sitting or standing, but it does not need to be in a lying or sit or standing position for it to work as well. What position may I not say Kriya Shema in? And the answer is lying down, because that is considered arrogant to sort of like lie down on the couch or the bed to say Kriya Shema. Doesn't look like as much of a priority in your life to accept the yoke of heaven. What happens if I'm already in bed and I'm in pajamas and it's not appropriate to say Kriya Shema with the lack of clothing? So if one's already lying down, one can turn on one side to say the Kriya Shema in that bedieved situation that one's already in. What happens if I'm not feeling well? If a person is sick, they can say it lying down if they can't get up, but they should turn on their side as well. We move to our third concept, and that is intention. What should I be thinking of when I say the first pasuk of Kriya Shema? So one needs to accept the Hashem as the only power in control of the world, the heavens and the earth. There's no other power other than Him. Meaning, I cannot blame the traffic, I cannot blame the weather, I cannot blame the economy, I cannot blame the geopolitics or terrorism. By saying such, I'm essentially saying that there is a power which I have no control over, which Hashem has no control over, therefore I cannot speak to Him about it. Therefore, when one says Kriya Shema, when it says Echad, that means to say Hashem is one and the central and only power in the universe able to change and to configure things. What happens if I did not have intent? So one needs to repeat the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, that one was not, did not fulfill one's obligation without intent in this case. How should I have better intent? I mean, that's a high bar. So the Kitzur says, very simple, say it out loud in a loud voice. When you do that, you awaken yourself to think again. How do I pronounce the ches and the dalet at the end of the word echad? So you need to lengthen a little bit of both. Echad, which means to say, to lengthen the ches in a way of thinking of Hashem as the letter ches actually is really two letters, like a vav and a zayin, or two zayins next to each other with a little pointing up, a little join which points up, is like an arrow to think about Hashem being the ruler of all the heavens and earth. And the dalet is all four directions. It looks like a, you know, X and Y axis. All four directions Hashem is king as well. Any limits on how long? So the Kitzur says, yes, you should make sure that if you're extending the ches and the dalet, that it doesn't turn into a word which is echad, where it sounds like one's adding an extra aleph in the middle there, or echodeh, which is where one sounds like one's adding an ayin at the end. So one has to be careful that one still maintains the pronunciation of the word itself. It's interesting that in the Yemenite tradition, there's a different way of pronouncing the dalet. There's two ways of pronouncing a dalet, if it's got a dagesh or not. One is the. It's actually, so de and the. It's actually interesting that it's easier to continue the sound than the de sound, which sort of ends as one hits the palate. Why do we cover our eyes when we are saying Kriya Shema? The answer is because we're accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the singular power over the entire universe. Sometimes when we look around in the world, it doesn't seem like that is the case, and therefore we, in the separation between what ought to be and what is, we cover our eyes. Why do we whisper Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vo'ed? You'll notice that in the actual Psukim in Parashas Vayeschanan, the words Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vo'ed does not exist there. So one is because, one reason we don't say it is because today that we lack the kavod malchusai, the honor of Hashem's rule in this world. And so therefore we say it without that because it would be inappropriate. Only the angels can say this. In fact, we do say this in Aramaic, and that is the translation of Yehi Shmei Rabbah in the middle of Kaddish is Baruch Shem Kavod, which is said in Aramaic because we don't want the angels to hear us saying something which seems to be out of place in this world that we say it as well. Now the reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu omitted it, but actually if you look at the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Vav, the Gemara tells us that when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, he called around all his sons, and he was going to tell them the end of what was going to happen at the end of days. That was taken away from him. And he thought perhaps it was because his children were behaving inappropriately and therefore they were not worthy of hearing it. And then they assured him, no, that Kashem she'en b'libecha echad, kach en b'libeinu ela echad. We all believe in Hashem at the end of your life. And he was so happy that he said, when they said that, they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Yisrael, referring to their father, Israel. And he responded, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Va'ed. So because Yaakov Avinu said Baruch Shem, we say it, but because Moshe Rabbeinu omitted it, we say it quietly as well. We now move into the fourth concept, and that is pronunciation. So a few basic questions over here. Number one is, are there any special stops in the reading of the Kriya Shema? The answer is yes. It is best to break for a moment between each of the paragraphs. How do I read the Kriya Shema itself? So one should be reading it from a siddur with vowels. One needs to read it loud enough to actually hear it for one's own ears. One shouldn't be shouting it, but one needs to be saying it aloud enough to be able to hear it for one's ears. This is a halacha from the Mishnah in Brachos. Most people don't know this. You need to read it out loud. You need to be looking at what you're reading, not saying it off by heart and gazing around. What other things that I should be mindful of? The Kisser gives us a whole list of things. One should make sure that there's a dagesh, which means there's a dot. One should pronounce it as such. If it's a bays, it's a bays. And if it's a vase, it's a vase. For Ashkenazim, a taf and a saf. And there's a lot of other a dagesh chazak, for those who know how to really lane, is actually stronger than without a dagesh chazak, even let's say in a nun. But they're not for right now. Now, one should also be careful that in the Siddurim, a lot of Siddurim have a line between words which should not be merged. One should stop briefly there. So, for instance, Bechol Avavcha. If you read it into itself, it goes Bechol Avavcha is one word. That's the Lamed into the Lamed. That doesn't work. One has to make a break, and the Siddurim ensure that. One should also be careful that the ayin in the word Nishba is said as an ayin. Asher Nishba Hashem Lavoisechem at the end of the second paragraph. Nishba with an ayin. Ayin is actually a guttural, as is correctly pronounced by many Svaridim and the Temanim, which is Nishba. And that's because Nishba means to say swore. With a hey, if it's said just silently, then that would mean Hashem captured. That's not good. And finally, the Zion, Zachartem es komitzvah Hashem, Ulaman tizkeru v'asisem, should be said as a Zion explicitly. And that's why you'll hear some people saying it like that, because if you say it as a sin, Ulaman tizkeru uzchartem, that means you'll be rewarded. We don't do the mitzvahs for reward. And so therefore, the more allowed one does this, the more correct one can say it. If one's whispering, it's most likely you're going to say it incorrectly. What's the deal with the tzitzis in the Shema? So because the third paragraph mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim and it mentions the tzitzis, therefore for those men who are davening in the morning, one would gather the tzitzis up at the end of the second bracha Kriya Shema, when we say Nivavien Nisholam Ava Kanfois Aretz. We'd bring the four tzitzis together and hold them in the left hand around the kmitza, which is the pinky finger. They're held until the third paragraph until they're picked up by both hands and held in front of one's face. And one kisses them for each of the three times to say the word tzitzis. When one says the word Ruizimosan, you'll see them. You lift it to your eyes and then kiss it at the word MS, and finally kiss and drop and release at the word Venech Madim Na'ad in the third bracha of the Kriya Shema in the first paragraph of Vayatsev. Of course, this is only done in the morning when the mitzvah Kriya Tzitzis is done and is not done at evening because there's no mitzvah Tzitzis at night. The fifth concept of here is interruption. So is there any leeway for any important communication during Kriya Shema? The answer is no. One cannot even motion with one's eyes or hands. However, for the sake of a mitzvah, one can make a hint with one's eyes or hands during the second paragraph onwards. Isn't the word MS the last word not actually in the pasuk that's found in Parsha Shlach for the third paragraph of the Kriya Shema? The answer is yes, it is not there, but we have attached it to it. Chazal put it there as well for two reasons. One is because the pasuk in Yirmiyahu Perek Yud says Vahashem Elohim MS, so they built it off that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and also because the three paragraphs of Kriya Shema together have 248 words, which relate to the 248 limbs or organs in the body, and so when one is saying Kriya Shema correctly, one is validating giving spiritual strength to each one of those organs. Now, but then, does that include the chazan's repetition of the last three words? The answer is yes. What happens if I'm not in shul and I don't hear those last three words being repeated? That's only 245 words. Correct. So the answer to that is that's why when you say Shema by yourself, you read the three words before it, which is Kel, Melech, Ne'eman, adding three words in to be mashlim, to complete the idea of 248 words. And finally, what if I had to stop in the mid-Kriya Shema, take a silent break, let's say to go to the bathroom or clean something, which let's say I found that it was inappropriate to be within this range of a unclean item. So then one keeps quiet, but one has to make sure that that break is less than the amount of time it would take me to finish the first two paragraphs of Kriya Shema. If it was longer than that, I have to restart the business. Finally, last concept is, what happens if I'm in shul? So let's say I did Kriya Shema already, and I come into a second minion, I'm listening to the minion, and they get up to Kriya Shema. What should I do? So even though you've done the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, you need to put your hand over your eyes and say Kriya Shema again, certainly the first pasuk, because otherwise it looks like you are denying this concept. What happens if I have not done Kriya Shema yet? I mean, Pesukah Zimra, I'm lagging a little bit behind, and I see them getting up to Kriya Shema. I mean, you put my hand over my eyes and say the words of Kriya Shema, so it doesn't look like I'm denying this. Are there any other parts of Tefillah that are so important that if I've already said it, I have to do it again? The answer is yes. Or Shema, Ashrei, Aleinu, and also the beginning of Moedim, because these are things if one doesn't do, it looks like one is denying the concept, which is not a good thing. With this, we conclude the halachas of Kriya Shema. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.